Tell me the lay of the land today in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, the drawdown is continuing. So by the end of this week, we'll be close to the normal footprint that's there, because we always had a nice office there. But I will be keeping additional security teams there, mobile response units, that their job is to deploy if our agents get in trouble, you know. Now, I hope we don't use them, right? So I can pull them resources out quickly. It's just a small group of resources there to do that. But so far, it's been good. I mean, the mayor, we won't agree to much, but the law enforcement of Minneapolis PD is responding to our calls. They are taking down those illegal roadblocks being put up. So, you know, they came to the table for public safety mission. We're in more county jails now than we ever have been. We had agreements, there's different agreements, different counties, but we are arresting more criminal aliens in the safety and security of a county jail, which makes it safer for the community, safer for officers. We have a great relationship with the state prison system on honoring our detainers, plus helping us with probation and parole. So look, Minnesota is less of a sanctuary state, and I'm pleased with that. And I hope other sanctuary states watch what we've done, and hopefully they'll work with us. I mean, we're not asking any of these people to be immigration officers. We're just asking their cops to work with our cops to keep public safety through illegal aliens off the street, and it's working well. So we've already moved over close to 1,500 there now, and so hopefully within the next 6 to 7 days we'll be back to normal footprint.
And just looking back a little bit on how we got to this spot, I mean, you talked about cooperation now coming from the counties and the prison system and MPD. That didn't happen. That's why the force was necessary. You've explained that very well. I'm going to ask you a hypothetical, but I think it's an important one. Many of us are sad that there's been loss of life as a result of this operation. We say often here, people stay on a sidewalk, nobody gets hurt. But obviously these people made bad decisions that led to bad decisions, and it cost them their life. But isn't that really on the fact that these people that you've come up with agreements now, the county, the city, and the prison system, didn't do this originally? I mean, they're to blame for this chaos, are they not?
Well, yeah. You know, we got to remember why we're there to begin with. The last 4 years, the Biden administration opened the border up. They lied to the American people, saying the border is secure. Meanwhile, over 10.5 illegal aliens crossed that border and are released, in my opinion, illegally in this country. And many weren't properly vetted. And that's why we're out looking for them. We're cleaning up the mess of the last 4 years. Now, I just want to mention one more thing. When I talk about drawdown normal footprint, there is a caveat to that. We are leaving detail agents in Minneapolis to continue the fraud investigations. They're not going anywhere until we finish the investigation. And we also have a small group doing the church investigation of the people that, you know, went into that church and disturbed that congregation there. So we do have extra agents that are putting in those criminal investigations, and they'll leave when they're done with the investigations.
Yeah, good point. And in addition to that, I think I've heard you talk about this, but maybe you can give us an update on this, what I would call a criminal enterprise with mobilizing people. I saw congressional testimony about the millions and millions of dollars that are coming from George Soros and all these different NGOs and groups that are pouring money into this. I mean, they're spending a fortune. So obviously they have a sophisticated signal enterprise that has done a lot of this damage. I assume that's illegal. What's the status of that investigation?
It is illegal, and DHS is working very closely with the FBI to identify, you know, follow the money. The way we do most investigations is follow the money. That's how we address cartels. That's how we're going to address this. So DOJ is FBI specifically, is looking deep into who's funding it and how that money was transferred, who got money. So those people be held accountable, because it is illegal. And I wish, you know, they would give that much money to, you know, events. For instance, next week I'm going to be at an event with many, many angel moms and dads who buried their children because their children were murdered by illegal aliens. I'll be with moms that their daughters were brutally raped, murdered, tortured. And I wish some of these groups would give money to the effort to remove criminal aliens from the country. I wish people would protest, you know, Lake and Riley fighting for, you know, 19 minutes to survive, to fighting for every breath she had. I wish these protests would come out in support of these people. So, you know, they'll be held accountable. DOJ serious about Pam Bondi, and it's got the best people on the case. I'm not in the weeds on the case, but I get a briefing. These people will be found, and they'll be held accountable.
Yeah, and you mentioned Angel Moms. I was down at the border with you a few times during the Biden years when the beginning of the chaos started. And those Angel Moms, many of whom were there, the stories they tell, if you can't have enormous empathy and just walk a mile in their shoes, I don't know, you're not human enough, and their voices are not elevated enough, so I'm glad you're meeting with them, and that'll get some attention. I hope they come to Minnesota, because they should do a tour and wake up a lot of people. Give me the inside baseball on the agreements. You know, it's way back to the first phone call that came to President Trump from Governor Walz and then Jacob Frey. There was, you know, mutually, they both all said the same thing, the president, the mayor, and the governor. Within 15 minutes, the governor and the mayor were right back to their same old rhetoric. And,
Scott, people need to understand that if anybody thinks these politicians are going to stand and say, okay, Trump won, we lost, they're not going to do it. I mean, I've had a great conversation with them behind closed doors, and an hour later, supposedly we didn't have that great conversation. But bottom line is the results speak for themselves. We're in more county jails now than ever. I think over 80 county jails. And the agreements are different. You know, there's some county jails that want to take the advantage and will. Some county jails just give us a call in advance, which I came, that was my, you know, play when I went up there. I said, look, I understand there's litigation of the detainers in the state. I get it. I understand there's some legislation that may block you from doing it. I get it. But there's nothing illegal from you calling the ICE office before you release an illegal alien criminal. You don't have to hold them 1 minute past your normal time. So you're not holding them for us. So there's no litigation problem there. Just call us before you release them. We'll be there and take custody of them. And that's what most of the counties are doing. And it's just a smart thing to do. So, you know, and I met with the Attorney General, Keith Ellison. And, you know, there is a law that said they're supposed to honor detainers for felons. But, you know, but he even clearly said there's nothing illegal with a sheriff that wants to call ICE before they release them. And, you know, and let me say this. There's a lot of people out there, you know, the left saying that, you know, they shouldn't be working with ICE. You know, what I'm sick and tired is hearing from the Democrat politicians, most of them, if not a vast majority of them, say, you know, for the last year, ICE should be concentrating on the criminal aliens leave everybody else alone. ICE should be arresting public safety threats. We don't want them here either. They say that and say that over and over again, but they want to lock us out of jail. You can't square that. There's no way you can say, yeah, ICE should arrest criminals, but you know what? We're going to lock you out of jail. It's just ridiculous. We came a long ways in Minnesota. I'm proud of what we were able to accomplish in Minnesota. And one thing I want to make, you know, perfectly clear, because some people question, well, are we backing away just arresting criminals? No. Prioritization of public safety threats doesn't mean we forget about everybody else. We said from day one when President Trump took the Oval Office, we're going to prioritize public safety threats. That's what we're doing. But if you're in the country illegally, you're not off the table. We'll come for you, too.
Are you confident these agreements stick? Are they black and white? And if there's one little violation, you're going to have to ramp back up? I mean, what is your confidence level that this is going to stick?
I'm optimistic, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, they can always turn back around, but if they do, like I said the other day, there's nearly 800 flights a day coming in out of St. Paul, and we got no problem going back. I mean, but I really think we're in a good spot here. I mean, they all said that because of the chaos in the streets there, that it's affected their economy, it's affected their businesses, and I put a lot of blame on them because they allowed agitators to, you know, cross that line and which caused an increase in resources. Like I say, a lot of the people that were up there, the thousands we had up there, were security forces whose main job was to protect our agents while they're doing the job. You know, when we, if they let us have the bad guy to jail, one or two agents can take custody of him. But when they release the bad guy out in the street and we got to go find him, then we send a whole team, what we call a few jobs team, which is usually, you know, about six people going to a house. And it got so bad there, now we got to send another team or six or seven guys to back up that team. Their job is just, you know, watch their backs and have their six while they're doing the warrant or making the arrest. The other team just there making sure agitators don't put them in harm's way or overwhelm what they're trying to do. So, yeah, you know, it caused a lot of resources there because of the chaos. And with less chaos means less resources.
And by the way, I actually heard out of the mayor's mouth and the police chief, if you see ICE, call 911. If that is an upside-down world, I don't know what it is. They radicalized a lot of people with their rhetoric, and sadly, that's what results in what happened to Renee Good and Mr. Pretty. I mean, it is. I want to ask you about something that I've heard from the business community there, and you're right. They were the first to sit down with you and have meetings and say, Tom, help us fix this. I talked to few business people, and they said, we would love some guidance on how best to interact if ICE comes to a business. You know, do we get a heads up? Are we able to find this person? And for that matter, what kind of paperwork would you require of that individual? What would be best practice for this? Because according to them, some people that were innocent, right, but might be from India or whatever, were, you know, put in a detention center, and they want to better cooperate with you. What advice would you have for them and or employees?
Well, it's one of the things, the hot wash that I'm just finishing today. A hot wash is like a paper that, okay, here's what happened in that city. Here's what caused it. Here's how we addressed it. Here's what went wrong. Here's what went right. And we call it a hot wash for down is how we do things in the future. One of the things I did up there, I met with the business community. I met with the Chamber of Commerce and others. I also met with the faith community. I talked to, you know, pastors and rabbis and priests and trying to find out how this chaos has affected churches and schools and so forth. So that type of communication needs to remain. I think there needs to be an open door of communication. For instance, you know, I was able to, you know, talk to the faith community. There was no ICE agent walking into a church and arresting anybody in a church. I talked to them. But that's what the media says. The only people that violated the sanctuary of a church was the protesters, the agitators, when they're and interrupted that one service. That's the only people that, you know, walked in the church and caused a problem. You know, to talk to the business community, and we got an open line of communication. We should always have an open line of communication. And it depends on the situation. We may walk into some businesses with a warrant because it's a criminal investigation. Or we may walk into some businesses as a purely an immigration operation, which there's a process in place for I-9 inspections and notifications and so forth. So the most important thing is open and leave open the lines of communication so problems can be dealt with right away. Rather than dealing with a problem and fighting with a problem in the media, let's get the right down to the problem and fix it immediately. That way it don't get spun up, it don't get mismatches to the community, which gets them anger and go out and do, you know, stupid things.
Yeah, and by the way, compare Minnesota for me with other states that are removing much more numbers of illegals because of cooperation in the jail facilities from local law enforcement. And then the issue of no cooperation with local law enforcement for obstructing, you know, legal process, just basic things, and how those lives could have been spared if they had been arrested earlier. Again, best practice is what's happening in much bigger cities, and they're moving numbers out. So compare the two, what you saw when you came in versus what you see in these other bigger cities.
Like in cities where we have local law enforcement cooperation, there were no issues or very few issues. Cops working with cops is something that, you know, is again, safer for the community, safer for the people we're looking for, and certainly safer for the officers. And we did operation in Memphis and, you know, New Orleans. We didn't have these kind of problems. And why was that? Because law enforcement worked with us. They let us in the jail. They let us in the prisons. They let us, focus on the bad guy and arrest him and safety and security of that facility. What does that mean? That means less agents are on the street. More agents in the jail means less agents in the street. And that's what we saw in these other cities. We had local cooperation. We didn't have that in Minneapolis until now.
Only have 2 minutes left. I want to get to a couple of the things. One is related to, you mentioned we looked at the good, the bad. We're doing this hot wash. Just overview related to the agents involved in the Preddy and the good side. Where are we at with the investigation? And first blush, do you see them have they done anything wrong other than follow typical protocol in your eyes?
I can't comment on that because I don't want to influence the investigation at all. I'll say what I said from the very beginning. We'll let the investigation play out. There's hundreds of videos. There's eyewitness accounts of the officers, the statements themselves that they've given the statements. It's not only HSI Internal Affairs along with the FBI is investigating. So I expect the result to come out soon. And the same with the Renee Good, same with, whenever there's a shooting, the FBI is on the case along with Internal Affairs, and I'll let that play out. I have my personal opinion. I'm not going to share that. But just because I don't want to influence any decision.
No, that makes sense. So just quickly, when you say soon, are you talking about within weeks you expect that to be done?
I'm hoping, because the sooner we get a result of the investigation and the way forward, the sooner people can heal.
Last quick question. The governor, the mayor, other people are asking for $200 million from the state, from the federal government to clean up the mess. What's your reaction to that?
That ain't going to happen. Come on. I mean, where were they when 10 million people came across the border illegally? Where were they when 500,000 kids were smuggled in this country and they lost track of 300,000 of them? The reason this all happened, again, is because of 4 years of the open borders of the Biden administration. On top of that, over 10.5 million people crossed the border, at least in the country, and ICE wasn't allowed to do their job. ICE was handcuffed. So this is the fault of the Biden administration. We're fixing it.
And, of course, it got out of control with Governor Walz and Mayor Fry. And now to say the federal government needs to clean up their mess, I agree with you. Sounds crazy. Tom, super appreciate the time. Keep battling. Hope to see you soon.
All right. Thank you.